All right, we're back on the record. The next initiative is 2013-2014, number 125. Oh, and we've been joined by Sharon Eubanks from Office of Legislative Legal, who is the appointee of Dan Carton.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Lisa Brumfield, and I'm co-proponent of the initiatives 125, 126, 129, and 130, along with Peter Coulter.
All right, starting with 125, do you want to tell us what you believe the single subject of your initiative to be?
Prohibiting the artificial introduction of fluoride into any Colorado public water system.
Okay. Anyone have any questions on single subject or the jurisdictional issues? No?
No.
Okay. Make a motion.
I move that we find that proposed initiative 125 constitutes a single subject and proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. All right, the staff draft has been presented. Do you have any comments on the staff draft?
The only thing I had a question on is on line two. It said introducing fluoride into a Colorado public water system, and I had specified any. Is there a reason for that, or?
We can look at it. All right. Then other discussion by the board or questions?
I'll get us started. I was going to propose making actually the reference in the statement of single subject to be plural, to drop the A, and probably even Colorado. We can just say into public water systems.
Okay.
Since we're changing the Colorado Constitution, it seems pretty obvious that we're talking about within the state. And so I think we can drop that reference. And so I think that would address your first concern.
I would be fine with that.
Okay. And then in general, I think the title is somewhat detailed, maybe overly detailed.
Right.
And whether or not we could just simplify it a little bit in terms of once you get to the in connection therewith phrases, talk about requiring the imposition of criminal and civil penalties for violations and establishing exceptions to the prohibition. I don't know that the fact that the Department of Public Health and Environment would be enforcing the civil penalties is really perhaps a major feature that the voters need to know about. And so I think we could just sort of boil it down into making it a little bit more simpler title. If
I would agree.
Okay. So, Steve, if you'd...
Although the exemptions, I thought, were probably good to put in there still.
In terms of the detail?
Because I don't want people to feel that this is going to prohibit them from using dental products and things like that, you know.
And we can talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So requiring the imposition of civil and criminal penalties, and I think you could just say for violations. Drop the of the prohibition. Strike the entire next phrase. And then I don't know that I feel strongly one way or the other in terms of whether we include the details on the exceptions. So right now I'll just suggest the changes that are reflected on the screen.
I'm fine with that.
I guess perhaps maybe we'd want to make the reference on line seven. Again, it's singular in terms of public water system, whether we'd want to change that maybe to plural, because it would apply, the exemption would apply to all public water systems that contain fluoride prior to the measure becoming law.
Sure.
Okay.
My only comment was I wanted to change the prohibition, exempting from the prohibition fluoride in potential products to.
I don't think you're my.
Sorry about that. The exempting from the prohibition fluoride contained in dental products, I don't think that actually accurately conveys what it does. It's not intended to apply to the normal use of products that contain fluoride that ultimately end up in the water system, toothpaste, whatever. And so prohibiting fluoride is a very different concept than what's happening here. It's prohibiting adding fluoride intentionally to a water system. Am I explaining how I'm reading it? And so I think it's misleading. So I think either we can make it very generic by saying and creating certain exemptions for naturally occurring fluoride or fluoride or just that, and creating certain exemptions from the prohibition. Or we can go through the three specified intended exemptions, but the first one needs to be changed from prohibiting fluoride contained in dental products to fluoride used commonly, or I don't know. But the language of the actual proposal doesn't really help me much to give you language that's not misleading.
Would it, and I understand your concern, would it, if you said something like exempting from the prohibition use of dental products containing fluoride?
That'd be fine. I mean, what I was going to suggest is just literally taking it
all the
from the proposal,
out. Oh.
Because I don't know how you go wrong with that.
Because the proposal doesn't really say that the products contain fluoride. It just says.
Right.
So maybe we would want to remove.
But your suggestion was good. What was it again?
I think about use of dental products, but I think it may be inaccurate because the measure doesn't say. I think the inference is because some dental products contain fluoride, that's why the use is being exempted, but.
Right.
That terminology doesn't appear in the measure, so if we strike containing, yeah. So if we just say exempting from the prohibition use of dental products, naturally occurring fluoride, and fluoride contained in water, in public water systems. Well, then I would move, unless there's any more comment or discussion.
Oh, let me. Yeah, why don't you move the changes and then I'll read it.
Okay, I will go ahead and move the changes to the staff draft as reflected on the screen.
Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Second the motion.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so let me read it. It's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a prohibition against artificially introducing fluoride into public water systems and in connection therewith requiring the imposition of civil and criminal penalties for violations and exempting from the prohibition use of dental products naturally occurring fluoride and fluoride contained in water in public water systems that was treated before the enactment of the amendment. All right.
Do we need to further move it?
Yeah.
I move that we adopt the title to 125 as you just read.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That brings us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 126. I want to just start again by telling us what you believe the single subject of the initiative to be.
requiring foreclosing parties to record competent evidence of the right to foreclose prior to foreclosure.
Anybody have any questions on the single subject?
No. I'll go ahead and move that we find that number 126 contains a single subject and we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So the staff draft is up on the screen. Do you have any comments about the staff draft?
No, it seemed fine to me.
I was wondering if we could simplify it a little bit by, instead of concerning a requirement, because it's really establishing the requirement, just say requiring an amendment to the Colorado Constitution, requiring that a person seeking to foreclose a security interest in real property to file competent evidence. Might just help. And then I'd also suggest you want to take must files fine.
Okay.
Because they're required to file. And then in the last phrase, I think that it's important to insert the word real before property on line 5. And whether or not we also want to clarify that these documents have to be recorded prior to the commencement of the foreclosure.
Yes.
And if to do so, I think after located, at the end of line 5, we just insert prior to commencement of a foreclosure.
Well, it's on line 3. File competent evidence of the right to foreclose before foreclosure may occur.
And perhaps I'm overly technical in terms of commencement of a foreclosure versus a foreclosure occurring, which means it's completed.
Okay.
But I don't know that I feel strongly one way or the other. I don't know what the other...
I guess I think it's somewhat duplicative with the phrase on line 3, right?
Okay, then we can take it out. Like I said, I don't know.
I was actually going to suggest trying to simplify that last sentence in connection there with defining competent evidence that must be recorded with the clerk and recorder, or proper clerk and recorder. I mean, the definition is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think in the county is fine, but it's just proper. Isn't it the clerk and recorder? There's no other place to.
No, that's.
Which I think is actually more specific about what.
Yes.
Properly?
I think to be recorded, it's assumed.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was going. I think you can almost get rid of the rest of it. if you wanted to, it's with the clerk and recorder in the jurisdiction, but it's. I don't want to get into all that. I'm fine with the saying it. I was simply trying to shorten it or simplify it, not.
Well, are you suggesting to get rid of about the reference to the county in which the property is located, to
yes.
take that all out? I'm good with that.
Or with the county clerk and recorder.
No, I'm good with making the, including the reference to the clerk and recorder, and if you want to strike the latter part of the phrase.
Yeah, I'm suggesting if county is important, you can insert county above. After recorded, or county before clerk.
That's probably helpful to most people, although most people may still not know what a clerk and recorder is. And then striking the rest of the language after recorder.
Then I guess, is there any objection from
No, I'm from you? Fine with that. I think simplification is good.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and move the changes that are reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Before you read it, I think there may be a typographical error in the text of the measure.
Oh, okay.
And whether or not, I just want to confirm that with you.
Sure.
And I'm looking in what is subsection 1B that starts endorsements.
Yes.
And whether the first, I think there's two references to foreclosing party and whether you just need the latter.
Oh, spelling.
Well, first, the first reference is misspelled, but I think then you've got duplicative terms there. So it should only be one foreclosing party and to take the properly spelled one.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Whether we could go ahead and have that corrected.
Yeah, let's correct that.
Okay. We'll I missed that.
Okay. I'll go ahead and read it then. This is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution requiring that a person seeking to foreclose a security interest in real property file competent evidence of the right to foreclose before foreclosure may occur, and in connection therewith, defining competent evidence that must be recorded with the county clerk and recorder.
I would move the title as you just read.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to agenda item 2013-2014, number 129.
Good morning. I'm Peter Coulter and co with Ms. Brumfield.
Okay. If you want to tell us what you believe the single subject of your measure to be?
An official definition of fee.
All right. Anybody have any questions on the single subject?
No.
No.
I move that we find that number 129 contains a single subject and proceed to set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right. You have any comments on the staff draft?
No, I don't. Right. I'm happy with it.
I don't really think we need to call it an official definition. I mean, if it's a definition, it's official. We could strike that. I don't know if you have other changes you brought or a rewrite. I thought the staff draft was.
I just thought maybe to say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution establishing.
Right. Take and out so some more words.
And of, yeah, so to say establishing a definition. That's the only change I have.
I didn't have anything on this one. I liked it.
Oh, okay.
All right. I would move the changes to the staff draft as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I'll read it in an amendment to the Colorado. Oh, go ahead.
Again, I have a question of whether there's a typographical error in your measure. And I'm looking in the first phrase that starts off the official definition, whether on line 13 that documents is misspelled.
Oh, yes.
And whether or not we could go ahead and correct that.
Okay. So with that, then I will read in the question or the statement, I guess, that an amendment to the Colorado Constitution establishing a definition of a fee as a voluntarily incurred governmental charge in exchange for a specific benefit conferred on the payer, which fee should reasonably approximate the payer's fair share of the costs incurred by the government in providing the benefit.
I would move the title as you just read.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 130.
And a single subject on that is rights of a protected person in a probate proceeding.
Any questions on the single subject?
No.
I move that we find that number 130 contains a single subject and proceed to set the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Put the staff draft up. Do you have comments on the staff draft?
No, I do not.
I think it's a little short.
I don't know.
I'm not sure that it contains all the major features of your measure. I was surprised when I received it.
Yeah, I thought they ran out of time, maybe.
I have no idea.
I mean, usually they come long, and this one was...
Yeah, usually it's the opposite problem. But and so I've taken a stab, but I don't, you know, this is... I have to admit that I don't know this subject matter very well.
Nor do I.
In terms of... I took a stab at it. I think we can go ahead. And one question I did have for the proponents, because the staff draft talks about an amendment to the Colorado Constitution, but the measure itself doesn't say whether it's to the Constitution or the revised statutes. And
well,
so
when we brought it up to the staff legislation, she just assumed it was for statutory. And then we went over and said, no, we want it as constitutional. So
that's something you discussed in review and comment.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, I think then based on the proponent's representations that I'm fine with it saying an amendment to the Colorado Constitution.
Okay.
But then so, I think we have to get into our in connection therewith in terms of some additional details in terms of what your measure is attempting to do. And I'll just start out, and then we can sort of go from there. Prohibiting a person from being declared. Oh, let Mr. Ward keep up with the typing. Declared incompetent until examined and determined to be mentally incompetent. Semicolon. Dismissing all probate proceedings if a person is declared competent. Semicolon. Requiring persons declared mentally incompetent to be appointed legal representation. And providing for the assignment of such representation, semicolon. Making any judge in a probate proceeding personally liable for certain violations, which violations also result in the judge's removal and disbarment, semicolon, in the judge's removal and disbarment. Specifying damages to which a protected person and his or her attorney are entitled, semicolon. Requiring a specified amount of surety bond for conservators. Of protected persons. Semicolon. And requiring an audit to be conducted prior to closing of a conservatorship. That was just my initial take, and I'm open to any and all simplifications or changes.
No, this one, I think you had to go one of two ways. Either very simple or, you know, pretty much going through each paragraph, and you've obviously gone the latter.
I tried to, well, yeah, and if there's a way to simplify it, that's fine. Like I say, perhaps it's because I'm not as familiar with this area of law, and so...
Nor am I. The only question is whether or not there's anything here that isn't major. And because I'm not familiar, I'm not sure I know what is major or not. I guess maybe we should just ask for opponents. Is there anything here that you think is...
No, I think it's better that it's specific.
Less
like
important
this.
Or...
No, I would rather have them see it all. So I don't think it's going to make any difference, really. I mean, I think the voter's going to know when they're reading through this. So, and I have no objection to making the detail like that. I don't know how much more detail, but line three, where and determined to be mentally incompetent, and this was an important part of the proposal, was by a psychiatrist or psychologist, a licensed psychiatrist or psychologist, which is not required now. So I don't know if you feel that's needed or not.
And I guess I opted to not include that much detail or the clear and convincing evidence standard, figuring at least that if people wanted more detail, that it's in your measure, but yeah, I guess I'm open to including that if you think that's
sure
very important.
Yeah, I do think it's important.
Okay. And the way I read your measure in terms of the final draft submitted to us, it just had the reference to the psychiatrist?
We had psychiatrist staff, let's say staff said add psychologist, so it's psychiatrist and psychologist.
See, and I don't see that in the text of your final version that you filed with the title board. I only see the reference to a certified licensed psychiatrist.
Oh, right. It may not have made it. We had a discussion about psychologists, but we wanted psychiatrists, so we might have just kept psychiatrist.
Okay. So if on line three, we inserted after examined. To insert after examined by a licensed psychiatrist.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
I might change, let's see, line 8 from are entitled to specifying damages and costs to which a protected person and his or her attorney are entitled, because there's also this part where it's in the first part somewhere. Expenses for the examination shall be paid for by the protected person and shall not be denied. Is that the end of the first paragraph? Can we sweep that concept into the costs?
I'm fine with adding costs. Whether if you have a problem with the word entitled, whether it may be awarded, or I don't know whether it's mandatory, it shall. To say shall be awarded, or?
I think I was kind of going with specifying the allocation of damages and costs to which a protected person and his or her attorney. I don't know how you get it. Yeah, okay.
So are you okay with entitled, or you want to switch that?
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
You want me to read it?
Do you want me to move the changes?
No.
Okay, before you read it.
You got another one.
I think there's several typographical errors in your measure, so if we could clarify that.
Okay.
Before, at the beginning of the, and they're not numbered, so I'm just going to have to go with paragraphs. At the end of the first paragraph, I believe there's a period missing after the word denied.
Yes.
Okay. In the third paragraph, on line 29, I think the word's supposed to be precedent, and I think it should be with all E's rather.
Sorry.
Correct.
And so in terms of that, that's a typographical error. Okay. And then let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the seventh paragraph, on line 15 of the second page, I believe where it's talking about a protected person's asset, it should be person possessive apostrophe S, because it's
yes.
A person's person. Assets. On line 23 of the eighth paragraph, again, I believe conservators should be conservator apostrophe S in terms of possessive, because it's the conservator's financial records.
That's correct.
Okay. And then down on line 30 of that same paragraph, where it's referencing the ward's estate, I believe, again, it should be ward apostrophe S. Because it's the
correct.
Ward's estate. Okay. Now if we could go ahead and get those corrected.
All right. Okay. As it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning protected persons in probate proceedings and in connection therewith, prohibiting a person from being declared incompetent until examined by a licensed psychiatrist and determined to be mentally incompetent, dismissing all probate proceedings where the person is declared competent, requiring persons declared mentally incompetent to be appointed legal representation and providing for the assignment of such representation, making any judge in a probate proceeding personally liable for certain violations, which violations also result in the judge's removal and disbarment, specifying damages and costs to which a protected person and his or her attorney are entitled, requiring a specified amount of surety bond for conservators of protected persons, and requiring an audit to be conducted prior to closing of the conservatorship.
Yeah.
I would move adoption of the title for number 130 that you just read.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 130.
132.
132.
We just did 130.
Yeah, we just 132. Did 132. Oh, yeah, we did. 132.
We are pulling that initiative.
Okay. So that's being pulled by the proponent. All right. Then that takes us to another switch out.
Right.
The next item that will come up is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 138. And we have Mr. Gallander back from Legislative Legal.
Oh. Madam Chair, before there's a total switch out, one of my proponents is in transit. He's looking for parking.
Okay.
So it may be that these matters are...
Well, Mr. Gallander's here for a while, so we'll just call the state bank up or something like that.
Okay.
What do you have? You have 138 to...
138 through 145, but there's also 134 and 135 that I know have this...
What's the state bank?
Ms. Eubanks.
104.
Are those proponents here? 104?
From 104?
Yes.
I'm waiting for him to park as
oh,
well.
Oh, okay. So, well.
So close.
We'll see what happens.
We were just trying to follow the procession.
That one's actually, where is that one?
It's that proverbial race to the courthouse, whichever proponents show first to get heard first.
Yeah.
And get to go home first.
Get to go home first. I don't know if I have 104 anymore. I wonder if I pitched that one last night. Yeah, when it comes up, I will. Or I can have someone make me one. I think I have it.
Which one do you need?
104.
Should be in your packet.
Well, I know, but I think I got mixed up last night. And...
I have spares. There's some on the back table I can get one right now.
Oh, all right. That's yours, isn't it, Jason? 104?
Yes.
Okay. And then everything after 142 is Sharon's, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to try to get yours all done today, and you're off tomorrow, too?
Yep.
And then Sharon will come back. Okay. Perfect.
But I think except for possibly the bank one, the 138 to 142 shouldn't take too long. I don't think.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are there any designated representatives present in the room who have not yet executed the affidavit of designated representative?
Are we on break, Steve?
We're still broadcasting, but yes. I will summon the notary who will be at this table over here, and we will get that taken care of.
I think we can get it done. Or you want to wait for the notary? Oh.
No.
It can take turns. All right. The next item up is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 104. If the proponents could come up and introduce yourselves.
Earl Stalen.
Robert Bowes.
And can you tell us what you believe the single subject of your initiative to be?
To establish a state-owned bank to promote a healthy Colorado economy.
Okay. And taking your initiative from last year, what kind of changes can we expect to see in this one?
The primary substantive change is that we have withdrawn the provision that would have exempted funds transferred from the bank to the general fund from the revenue and spending limits of Tabor.
Okay. So with that, does anyone have any questions for the proponents on the single subject? No?
I don't.
This is Jason's thing.
Sorry, I was waiting to leave.
Well,
yeah. Thank you. One question was in subsection 8, talks about capitalization of the bank with state money. Could you just, when you say capitalization, is that, well, I'm sorry, that's for the, I can't find in the initiative right at the moment, but there's still the one piece in there, I believe, that says all the money that the state has deposited in other banks now go to the state bank, right?
Correct.
And, but that's, let's see, I'm trying to think of how to put this, but that's not used, like, by the bank for capitalization. I mean, they can invest it and stuff, but for sort of ownership purposes, it remains the state's money, right, not the bank's money?
That's correct. Although there are reports called comprehensive annual financial reports that political subdivisions all over the country and state file, and apparently a fair number of those are dormant and not being used currently and might be available for capitalization. That would have to be determined. It's a technical issue.
In that case, I'll sort of indicate where I stand. The last time this came around is proposed initiative 45. I was of the view that it was not a single subject, and the thing that most concerned me about it was the transfer of funds provision. I felt that that effectively exempted the entire state from Tabor and that it wasn't particularly obvious and was sort of coiled in the folds of the initiative. Without that provision, I still have reservations, and I wouldn't be stunned if a court were to find, if this gets appealed, that there's not a single subject. But my uncertainty isn't so much as to what the measure says, but as to effects, which we don't really consider. So I will move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 104.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to the title. Do you have any comments on the title?
I thought it was a well-written description and fairly simple and straightforward form. I don't have any particular objections or suggestions to it. Mr. Bowes? Yeah.
I'm fine with the way that it's written, at least as a starting point to work on.
Thank you.
Well, if you have comments on it, I need your comments on the record. So.
I don't have any at this time. Thank you.
Well, I think just in terms of maybe shortening it up, I don't know that we need to say at interest or at no interest. I mean, if they're going to lend money, it's going to be at one of those two things, right?
Agreed.
All
keep waiting for Jason to weigh in, but I didn't really like to promote the general welfare of the Colorado citizens. That struck me as a political term, kind of an argument term, but I didn't know if you guys agreed with that or not.
Well, they have these provisions.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that say it has to be for the...
Right. I just didn't know if it would... It read to me slogan-esque, but yeah. Yes, I understand that it's also in the proposal.
Could I comment regarding that? The measure lists a number of specific things that the funding or lending of the bank is intended to do, and that includes to promote industry, commerce, agriculture, housing, education, health and safety, and I believe the drafters, and then there's a catch-all and other purposes to promote the general welfare, and I assume your drafting staff was using the term general welfare to avoid having to list so many specific things.
No, I think I was to try and get around it was to suggest something like for certain enumerated purposes, which
That's
avoided
fine.
The slogan part of it that concerned me, but still conveyed to the reader that there were more specific.
Well, what about public purposes?
Express that. That'd be fine.
Okay.
But I'm a lot happier with that.
Public purposes. For public purpose. Yeah, there you go. I don't really know how else to shorten it up unless there's things that you all think aren't necessary. And I don't know if we need to know their employees or
right,
hired the under thing. The personnel system.
I agree to the extent there was something to shorten it. That's where I was looking, but it also seems it's a duty of what that five-member, what is it, the... Five-member elected board does, and
right.
Seemed relevant.
It's relevant. I just don't know if it's central. I mean, we could just say to manage the bank, and then we would get rid of and hire a president who shall hire other. I mean, just manage the bank. It's part of managing a bank.
I guess I'd ask the proponents how important they believe that is or how central they believe that is.
You want it in there? Or?
I personally, I'm okay with that change.
Okay.
Do we even need this level of detail? Can we just say something like, you know, creating a board of directors, an advisory board, and a president who shall hire other employees to manage the bank, or something like that. It just seems like the five districts of the state and who's appointing who in this level of detail just
yeah, I think we could
seems
get rid
like
of,
a lot.
We could just say an elected board of directors to manage the bank.
Well, I actually thought it was kind of important that they're, you know, the General Assembly is carving up the state in five ways, which
yeah.
is something totally new to me, and that the governor is the sole appointing official for the 9-person advisory board. I mean,
right.
I certainly presume it's constructed that way so that you have kind of checks and balances within the board, or I'm sorry, within the bank structure. And I'm not sure that the simplified version, at least you just proposed, conveys that. I thought it was important. I'm not.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I'm fine the way it is. I don't know that there's anything else I would take out. I don't know there's anything else in the measure that I think is central that I would put in. So.
I think I'd like to propose putting the last clause up
after pretty high up there. That seems to me to be more central and more interesting than the rest of it. Requiring all assets of the state to be transferred.
I have certainly no objection to that.
Yeah, I think that's a great spot for it. The only other question would be whether, instead of separately listing the backing of the full faith and credit of the state and the exemption from FDIC, I think those two things are related. Essentially, we're saying the state's backing it, so we don't need the feds to back it.
You're not proposing to strike them. You're just proposing to
combine them, essentially, to show that they're linked, because in my mind they are.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Striking them would be a problem for me, but I don't have a problem with that.
We're okay with that.
Those are pretty biggies in my mind, too. In the spirit of continuing to narrow it, I think you could strike on line 11 or 12 the to advise the board of directors on management of the bank. I'm not sure what else an advisory board does.
Yeah, I think that's a good change.
The important part to me was the appointed by the governor.
Yeah. All right.
I think just requiring independent annual audits, get rid of by an independent accounting firm.
Yeah.
Steve, I have nothing else.
Do you want to collapse it? No. You got anything else?
I don't know that we need when it commences operation on line 4. Give me a second. I also don't think we need of Colorado on line 5. Either that, or we could just say full faith and credit of Colorado or of the state.
I think the state's fine. We've already said it's a state-owned bank.
That's fine. It supersedes.
You have to capitalize state.
Capitalize state?
We don't usually. Yeah. Okay. The only thing, Steve, I think line 9, we pull the "and" from before requiring and put it after finances. I'm good with
that. So, as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the establishment of a publicly owned state bank and in connection therewith authorizing the bank to lend money for public purposes, directing that all assets of the state held by other financial institutions be transferred to the state bank, backing the bank's debts and obligations with the full faith and credit of the state, and exempting the bank from membership in the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, specifying that the amendment supersedes conflicting constitutional state and local law, creating a five-member elected board of directors representing five districts of the state drawn by the General Assembly to manage the bank, creating a nine-member advisory board appointed by the governor requiring independent annual audits of the bank's finances, and allowing the state bank to issue bonds to capitalize the bank.
Okay. All right. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 104, as it was just read, as it now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. It passes unanimously, and that takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 138.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Paper clips are disappearing. Annoying.
Morning, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Gruskin. I'm representing Richard Evans and Stephen Rourke, the two proponents, both of whom are here and have executed their designated representative affidavits. And they are the proponents for initiatives 138 through 145 and have so indicated on their affidavits.
Starting with 138, can you tell us the single subject in your mind?
Yes, the single subject is a prohibition on exclusive licensing of casino-style gambling licensees.
Is there anybody who wishes to comment on this issue as it pertains to single subject? Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, members. My name is Bill Hobbs, and I'm here on behalf of Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn, who are proponents of gaming-related measures, including 134 and 135, which are on your agenda a little later today. I do have a comment about 138, and I don't know whether really it relates so much to single subject or title setting or both, but I thought I'd better go ahead and offer it now for whatever you decide it's worth. And I'm just going to make a general comment that applies not only to 138, but also to the entire series, 138 to 145. And I'm aware that Ms. Eubanks, I think, is probably going to be sitting for the last three of those on the board, 142 to 145. But in the interest of saving the board time, I figured if I just make one comment on all of the measures, perhaps that'll be helpful. My comment is about the relationship between these measures and the measures proposed by Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn. Now, by way of background, the measures proposed by them, as some of you may recall, would authorize either limited gaming or video lottery terminals at one location in three counties around the state for the purpose of raising funds for education. So what I just want to call to your attention is that these measures, 138 through 145, are intended in varying ways to overcome, nullify, restrict, limit, condition the effect of voter approval of the measures that are proposed by Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn. How do I know that? How do you know that? Well, they were all submitted by the same proponents at the same time, After Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn submitted their proposals, 80 and 81, which were predecessor measures, all of them would impose new limitation on measures that would expand gaming, such as the measures proposed by Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn. None of them, I think, and I'm hoping my generalizations here apply, but there are some variations among those measures, but I think none of them would apply to limited gaming that's already been approved. All of them would apply to gaming measures that are on the ballot this November. I think in most cases those measures expressly say so. And then I would suggest that none of them, 138 to 145, actually apply for measures on the ballot after this November, because, as you know, anyone who wanted to propose a measure on for the ballot after this November, if these measures pass, they would simply write in an exception. Because just like you can't bind future legislatures with legislation, I don't think an initiative can bind or prohibit future initiatives. So I think it's fair to say that they would apply just to gaming measures that are on the ballot this November. So therefore, I just want to call to your attention that, and this is not an unusual situation for you, I think you had this yesterday in a little different situation, but these measures are targeted at the proposals by Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn.
And did you have any kind of different interpretation of that section of 1-40 about the conflicting 1-40-106 that has to do with conflicting titles?
Oh.
That's sort of what we were talking about yesterday, and our take on it was we had to be clear that we weren't setting a title that would cause confusion, but that if a title was actually in conflict, the statute didn't prohibit us from setting. It just, the remedy for that was whichever one had the most votes would win, essentially, if one passed by majority.
And I heard some of the discussion. I didn't hear it all, and I don't know that I would disagree with anything. I've never quite understood 140-106-3B. You know, in the past where I've seen the title board apply it was when proponents had differing versions of basically the same proposal, and they ended up setting essentially the same title. And I think, as you probably discussed yesterday, the board would invoke that provision to ensure that the titles were not in conflict by actually being the same, which is kind of counterintuitive.
Right. I mean, the actual language is ballot titles shall be brief, shall not conflict with those selected for any petition previously filed for the same election, and shall be in the form of a question. So, I mean, depending on how you read shall not conflict, there's no case law that would support that, but I just didn't know if you had a different interpretation.
And I don't know that you're facing a situation where the ballot titles will conflict. And there's certainly nothing wrong with ballot proposals conflicting. That's perfectly fine. Where I think the potential concern is that I want to raise is that this could be this in this case, 138 to 145 raise potential single subject concerns, or at the very least title setting concerns, because the intent of the proponents of 138 to 145 to target the Hagedorn-Armstrong measures is something that does not appear on the face. I mean, each of these measures, 138 to 145, in varying ways, restrict future gaming measures, but no one reading those measures, I think, would know on the face that they would adversely affect the Hagedorn-Armstrong measures. So either I think you could conclude that that is a second hidden subject that might constitute a separate subject, or at the very least, I think probably in setting clear titles, you need to somehow, and it would vary for each of these, you need to somehow disclose the true meaning and intent of the proponents of 138 and 145. As you know, and you probably get tired on long days like this of hearing people talk about what the law provides, but with respect to single subject, you know, the the statute that the General Assembly enacted when they proposed the single subject amendment to the Constitution did say that one of the purposes of the single subject provision was to prevent surreptitious measures. And I think that is, and I don't mean surreptitious in a derogatory way or in any kind of way at all, but other than the fact that the reader of the measures cannot tell that a purpose or the major purpose is to affect the Armstrong Hagedorn proposals or any gaming measures that are on the ballot this November, but it's only theirs that may be on the ballot.
Well, and that kind of therein lies the problem, doesn't it? Maybe on the ballot. So you're writing a question. This one might get on. Mm-hmm. That one might not. So you can't directly refer to some other measure.
You might be able to refer generically.
Right.
That kind of goes to the title setting.
Yeah.
If you accept that the purpose of 138 to 145 is to overcome or condition or restrict the effective voter approval of any other, let's just say any other measures on the ballot this November, then there probably are some generic ways that you can describe that. Because I'm just tying this to the fact that the statute in the case law is so clear that the title board's obligation is to fairly and accurately express the true meaning and intent. And I, like I said, I think in this case the intent is unmistakable. So I don't know how you do it exactly, and I don't think there's going to be one phrase that works. I would just urge you to consider the possibility that it is something at the very least in the title setting you need to consider.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
If I could, I will take you through, unless you'd like to go through, the case law about conflicting ballot titles, because it seems like that's not an issue. This is a jurisdictional discussion. But let me give you a little bit of history about gaming measures in Colorado. I can think of, including the ones that have been referenced by Mr. Hobbs, at least three that have been presented to the voters of Colorado that have specifically identified a location for gaming purposes. There was the 1994 Manitou Springs limited gaming measure. There was the 2003 measure where there were five specifically named racetracks. There was the 2012 measure with a specifically named racetrack. This seems to be an accelerating habit. Whether or not this will be a source of exemption at some future point, we don't know. But we do know that there is also, and I think the board can take notice of the fact, that there is presently discussion of at least two referred measures, one for DeBec and one for Kiowa County, both of which would have some form of gaming. We don't know what those are going to look like now. We don't know whether they will specifically name locations for the gaming or not. I understand Mr. Hobbs' concern. It's simply not accurate. This has been an historical issue. This is a prospective issue. It's a current issue. And it is appropriate for the board to set a title that reflects when this will be effective. Voters will be able to process that. It is not a second subject.
Okay. Anyone have any questions on the single subject issue?
No.
I guess I have one because I wasn't privy to 80 or 81 or the discussion yesterday. Doesn't seem to me that, as Mr. Kruskin points out, that this is the single subject question is purely on this proposal, right? I mean, what we're talking about is going to be potentially relevant in the title setting based on what I'm reading in the case law, but
right.
Is that fair? Am I understanding it correctly?
If it becomes relevant.
Because I think this proposal, outside of any consideration of anything else that's going on, has one single subject.
Yes,
so I don't have any.
I agree.
Okay. Then I would move that there is a single subject.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's move on to the title. Comments on the title, Mr. Gruskin?
The proponents don't have any objection to the title as crafted by the staff. To the extent that the board seeks to minimize language, I certainly understand that, but unless there are issues highlighted by Mr. Hobbs, nothing jumps out at me that warrants being addressed. And I'm not trying to place Mr. Hobbs in a tough spot. I'm just saying that I understand that my word isn't the last word. To the extent that this is the appropriate place to consider whether or not you can set a conflicting ballot title, since I'm not sure that that's problematic, I would just say that it seems to me that the references, what the courts require is that that voters be able to differentiate between the two measures. Basically, what the Supreme Court said in the Fair Treatment 2 case cited at 877 Pacific 2nd, 329, the question is whether or not a voter, and I quote, would be able to distinguish between the two proposed measures and would not be misled into voting for or against either measure by reason of the words chosen by the board. I don't think that the title that has been proposed for 138 would in any way suggest to a voter that they might be voting for or against a measure of Ms. Armstrong and Mr. Hagedorn.
I'll start off. I agree with all of that. The only question I have to my board members, I don't feel strong about either way, is whether we need to include the definition language or not. My inclination initially was to take it out in light of the other things on the ballot. That may, leaving it in may be to a certain extent an accommodation to the extent it lets the voters know what we're talking about specifically in this measure when these other things are or may be out and about.
I don't know that we really need the definition. We didn't put it in the other measures. I don't remember. I think we just called it casino type or remember the exact words we used.
I think you used a reference to electronic gaming so that people knew what a video lottery terminal was.
Right. So I think if we say casino-style gambling, that's probably fine, and then just take out the in connection therewith.
Yeah. Although I'm just pondering if I'm second-guessing myself because that definition includes video lottery terminals, which is generic, and even though we're confining this measure, it is accurate and is part of the measure, and it does maybe convey that this would apply to those other things that may be on the ballot. Right. So maybe I'll withdraw my initial suggestion.
An amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the granting of an exclusive license for casino-style gambling or video lotteries at a specific... blah, blah, blah. And then we can get rid of the... then it becomes pretty clear that it's contradictory potentially to the other measures. So right.
I think I'd say including video lottery terminals since they include it in the definition. And normally I wouldn't be inclined to single it out, but I think that slot machines, poker, blackjack, craps, roulette, I think everyone thinks of that as casino-style gambling. I don't know that everyone thinks of video lottery terminals as casino-style gambling.
Okay.
So singling it out, I think, is reasonable.
Okay, so then it would be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the granting of an exclusive license to conduct casino-style gambling. And then you would say including video...
lottery terminals.
Okay.
Comma. And then the only other thing I'd do is add statewide before ballot measure, since there are local ballot measures and they're not covered by this.
Okay. Yeah, I think it makes it a little more clear where it's going. Did you want to comment, Mr. Gruskin? Or Mr. Hobbs? No.
I don't have a comment. I didn't have a problem with the initial wording because I didn't think it was that long.
Okay.
I don't think that this language is problematic either.
All right. So it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the gaming, the granting of an exclusive license to conduct casino-style gambling, including video lottery terminals, at any specific geographic site identified in a statewide ballot measure adopted on or after November 4th, 2014.
All right.
All right.
I would move that we adopt the staff draft as amended and as just read and as appears on the screen as the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 138.
Second. You have discussion?
I think I'm at a disadvantage having not heard the discussion yesterday or 80 or 81.
It was.
That makes both of us, actually.
Yeah, he wasn't here either.
Okay, and I don't want to get something wrong here. And I think Mr. Hobbs' discussion causes me to just ask the question, is it appropriate to ask the proponents or the opponents on whether or not they think there is, in fact, a conflict that then has to be addressed here somehow?
Well,
I don't think so, but I'm asking.
No, I mean, I think there is. Well, obviously, they're conflicting.
Right.
But there's not going to be any confusion over the title. The title doesn't cause the confusion. I mean, you can have conflicting language, conflicting outcomes.
I think what I would say is I'm hard-pressed. I mean, I could see a voter looking at this and looking at if the other ones, if these all go forward. I can't see anyone who pays any attention to them at all voting yes for this and yes for something specifically authorizing video lottery terminals.
But where I'm going is this case, and again, maybe I'm just misreading it, or maybe Mr. Bruce can comment on it, which is this matter of proposed initiative constitutional amendment concerning the fair treatment of injured workers amendment. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Is it applicable here? Because what it says here, and I'm just reading the amended version, says subsection 3B requires that conflicting ballot titles distinguish between overlapping and conflicting proposals. So we're in the title setting stage where 3B is clearly applicable. And if our task is to distinguish between overlapping and conflicting proposals, then do we have to be considering that right now?
Well, it's
also clear. I mean, the subsequent cases make it clear whatever happens once it's on the ballot is the outcome, and it's the numerosity there. And
I think the case
that you quoted from is also, I think, clear. I'm asking about the case that nobody's talked about yet, which seems to apply right now.
I think this one does distinguish. I think the question then becomes, you know, down the road, are you planning on only doing one of these? Are you planning on doing all of them? Or
obviously, that's up to the proponents. It is more likely than not that they will choose one.
Right.
There are several that are really not overlapping, like these that relate to the issuance of licenses as opposed to, say, a location near a school. But certainly of those that are drafted similarly, prohibition on monopolies, for instance, you would only go with
right.
one of those.
Yeah.
I think, if I may ask Mr. Blake a question, I'm trying to think of what you're getting at, because if you're getting at the suggestion that we should somehow reference other measures that may or may not show up without us knowing that, I don't think it's possible to actually
do that.
That's
exactly what I'm asking, because I'm confused about what the requirement is upon us and if it is in fact a requirement, how to do it.
And I think what I would say is if it's sort of an impossibility to get that specific, then I think the best we can do is look at the text of the measure, say what it does, and I think in this case, by sort of highlighting at least mentioning the video lottery terminals, there's some notice to the voters. I don't think the titles aren't overlapping, as I haven't looked at the ones for A1, I assume are not very similar in their language at all, where it would cause confusion that way, and I think that's the best we can do.
And if I could just jump in, there's actually an instance in 2008 where there was a civil rights limitation and a civil rights protection measure filed in response, and I think actually Mr. Hobbs may have been on the title board, so he knows more about it than I do. But this went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said as long as there was some language in the title as to the substance of the measure rather than some reference to the other measure, so that people could tell that they would accomplish different things, that that satisfied 1-40-1063B. So I think... Well,
that makes sense. I mean, that would be make them discernible, which is, seems to be what's the requirement here is. That related but discernible. I'm adding related to the...
Right.
Right. And I guess what I'd say is I think what we've done makes it discernible. I don't think you could look at this in the title to 80 or 81 and say, well, both of these can happen.
Well, and frankly, you would have no confusion. The other one is crafted as a Tabor question. Shall there be an increase in taxes and a legalization of gambling? And this one is not anything close to that. There, no one will look at the two questions and wonder which one is which.
Not determinative. Can I ask Mr. Hobbs to comment or if he has a comment?
You can.
Me, this is kind of a threshold question for the next, you know, eight of them.
It's so, only six or seven.
However, no, because there's still two more after.
But those are his.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm still trying to figure out whether or not it applies. But Mr. Hobbs, do you have any comment?
Well, I wasn't going to comment further, but I'll do it anyway. I think, Mr. Blake, you're actually right on. I mean, I think I don't know exactly how to apply that case to this this particular ballot measure, but I think there is the possibility of voter confusion if you don't more clearly separate the measures. Now, I'm just making this up as I go, but I'm going to speak to Mr. Gallander's comment as well. I think it's possible for some of these measures that, yes, the voters will think these sound great. No monopolies. That sounds like, who wants to, and I'm not sure that would be the phrase in the title, but who wants to vote for a monopoly? I'll vote for that. I mean, I'll vote for a measure that prohibits monopolies. Oh, also on the ballot is a measure to increase taxes for education through expansion of gaming. They don't, on their face, they don't appear to conflict, but they do, because one would nullify the other if one of these measures gets more votes. And the voters won't know that unless the title board discloses that, for example, this measure will override any conflicting measure if it gets more votes or something. Again, I recognize there's a difficulty in how you do it, but I can foresee the possibility that for some of these, voters will want to vote for 138 through 145 and vote for the measures proposed by Vicki Armstrong and Bob Hagedorn. And at the very least, there probably ought to be a way to say that these measures may override any conflicting measures on the same ballot. Because you've already approved 80 and 81, and you know that these are in conflict. And so it's not like you have to make up anything. I think you can take note of the fact of what you've already done, plus what you're about to do later today with 134 and 135.
So I suppose we could say at any specific geographic site in a statewide or will, somewhere in that last language we could say, and will override any approval of a specific geographical site identified.
Yeah, but I'm going back to Mr. Gallander's point of, I'm just not, I mean, the titles for 80 and 81 are set. So to consider one and the other and start going through this analysis strikes me as frankly impossible or even inappropriate. And if I can't go back and do the same thing in 80 and 81 and you have two things in conflict, so...
Right.
I seem like I'm in an impossible situation, but this case, if I'm reading it, seems to require that. I feel like we're setting ourselves up for failure. That's what it feels like, but I don't know how to fix it either.
Well, I think you can either choose to put in language like that or choose not to and live, let the Supreme Court tell us what we were supposed to do.
I just think when we set titles, we're generally this... rule notwithstanding for the moment, supposed to say what's in it as clearly and concisely as possible, not speculate too much as to future effects. And to do any of this requires a lot of speculation. It requires these other things, us to speculate the other things will get on the ballot. For that matter, I don't know if they're going to get appealed to the Supreme Court, and maybe the Supreme Court says no to them. There are too many to me, variables for us to do anything coherent that overcomes our usual clarity, brevity, fair and accurate title requirements here. Not, and that's in addition to your issue with that we can't go back to 80 and 81 now.
Well, I mean, the putting your language in is clearly appropriate. I mean, that's the last part of this initiative, right?
Right.
So it does, in fact, expressly say it's going to nullify anything that's in conflict. I'm summarizing a little bit there, but that's what it does. You could add that language, and it would be appropriate. My problem is I'm not sure that we're getting at the deconfliction or the discernible, I forget what the term was.
I don't know how helpful it is to people. I mean, we say nullifying something, and people say, well, what?
I agree. This other thing on the back.
Oh, and by the way, only if this one gets more votes.
Right.
And
okay.
You good?
I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm in a spot, but I just have to pick one way or the other, and the Supreme Court, I guess, will have to decide whether or not.
Yeah.
We're picking right or wrong.
I'm sorry. There's no win here.
I think I made the record, so.
Here's the good news. My guess is you only have a week to reconsider it, so.
Thanks.
We could just do the next one differently so we make sure we win one. How's that? Does that make you feel better?
Is it somebody else? Yeah. I won't object to either way.
Yeah.
It'll be like when I bet on basketball games and I bet on all different outcomes and they all somehow lose.
Yeah, I don't know. That could happen too.
All around.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. So all we have left is a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So that takes us
139.
To 2013-2014, 139. Mr. Gruskin, can you just tell us how this one changes?
Okay, so this is a different measure. 139 and 140 are similar, but this is different from 139. This is 139 requires local approval of gambling that is adopted at a statewide election.
Mr. Hobbs, did he just want to incorporate your comments from last time? Or?
Yes, please. If I could, for all of these 138 to
145. Okay, so we'll just incorporate Mr. Hobbs' comments from 138 for the record. Any questions on the single subject?
I have nothing on single subject.
No, I think I'm okay.
To make a motion?
I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 139.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I have two comments or proposed changes. The first one relates to line 2, host community. I didn't know if that was a term of art or not. If it is not a term of art, I think it's odd.
It's become a term of art in the other ones we did.
It has. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's better to leave it in
because
that's fine. We have stuff about the host community in the other question.
That's fine. It seemed as it was either term of art or it wasn't. And the second one is the clause type of gambling that appears at least in a couple of different places. I think I would just suggest looking at line 3, statewide ballot measure to authorize authorized gambling in that location, something along those lines. I keep getting caught up with that type of gambling because
I mean, it says any type, so that's everything. So we could just strike any type of and just say authorized gambling.
Exactly.
And then in a host community named in a statewide ballot measure adopted on or after.
If I could, The reference to type of gambling is a reference straight out of the measure itself, so that there isn't confusion that if there is approval for a particular, I don't know, type of poker in Aurora, and that is somehow a carte blanche for all gambling. So it is specific that the voters would have to approve the kind of gambling that's coming into their community so that they know, and so that it reflects the measure that was adopted by statewide voters, so that the locals aren't going beyond the statewide authority that's been granted as an exception to Article 18, Section 2.
And I think I've got maybe an alternative fix for that. Maybe we say authorized gambling in a host community to the extent authorized by a statewide ballot measure or something along those lines.
All right.
And then we can get rid of the rest of the types.
I think that...
I would change the first authorize in line 2 to approve. Am I right about that?
Oh, that sounds good. No, I think he means down... Oh, you do mean line 2. Never mind.
We just have a lot of authorized now.
Yes.
Could you also strike to authorize? Wait.
Nothing can get rid of all of that.
And can we strike to be held, just a local vote within 13 months? Do we have to have to be held? You know how I don't like to be, so unnecessary.
No, I think it's a good change.
And again, on line 6, we have the type of gambling clause again.
Gambling license?
Yeah, it's the authorized gaming, right? I mean, I understand your point, Mr. Gruskin, but if it's not authorized, then...
No, absolutely.
It either is or it isn't, and that's the scope.
Can't we just say prior to granting a gambling license? For the whole...
I think so.
That would be fine with me, too.
I don't really even understand number. What is that getting at, Mr. Gruskin? Continuing the effectiveness of all local vote requirements?
So I think if I can try and mind read the staff, there's currently a voter approval requirement for limited gaming that applies to the three gaming towns. It is the intention and express wording of the measure not to change that, limit it, modify it, or whatever. I'm not sure that's a central element of the measure. I Hopefully don't have don't. A problem with it.
Yeah.
But
usually we don't describe what we're not changing, so I'd propose just taking it out.
I don't have any objection to taking it out.
Yeah. Are you looking up, Jason?
Yeah, I looked at them before, but it was a few days ago. I think that's all right.
Okay. So as it reads right now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a requirement for a local vote to approve gambling in a host community to the extent authorized by a statewide ballot measure that is adopted on or after November 4th, 2014, and in connection therewith, requiring the local vote within 13 months after the effective date of the statewide vote and prior to the granting of a gambling license. We need an of on the end of line 4 or at the beginning of line 5. All right.
Just on line four, can we just say before instead of prior to?
Sure.
Become a minor pet peeve. All right. With that, I'm good with it. All right. I move that we adopt the staff draft as amended, as it's been read, as it appears on the screen, as the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 139.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 140.
Very similar.
And Mr. Griskin, do you want to just tell us what's new here?
Well, this is a slightly different take on the same concept, and it is more explicit on the type of gambling that would be covered. It is a defined term, casino-style gambling, but it is the same single subject, and it is the same purpose. Obviously, you've ended up with a staff draft that is significantly longer, and maybe in light of your earlier changes, that length won't be retained. But in any event, that's the single subject. Local approval of casino-style gambling. Approved in a statewide ballot measure.
All right, and Mr. Hobbs, do you want us to just incorporate all your comments from 138 for the record? Or do you have new comments?
No new comments, thank you.
Okay. So which one are we better off starting with? Seems like a hybrid.
Well, all we need to do, I would start with what we said on 139 and just paste in the casino-style gambling definition and then maybe chop that down like okay. We did in the other one, 138.
Don't we have to
casino style
change
gambling up
on line two gambling to
casino style gambling?
Casino style gambling?
Yes.
And then in your, I think in 138, after you used that reference, you used including video lottery terminals set off by commas so that you could excise the actual definition.
Exactly.
I think
I'm not proposing it. I'm just
video lottery terminals.
Trying to get you out of here.
I want to be consistent. I'm all for that.
It's just because you weren't here yesterday.
We can get rid of the definition language.
I want one less Mr. Griskin one.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I think we lost the word license at the end of line 7 after gambling. Didn't we?
Yeah.
And just to be clear, this is discernible because one deals with casino-style gambling and the other with gambling as authorized?
Right.
Okay.
And I will represent to the board that the proponents will not seek signatures on both 139 and 140.
Yeah. All right. I'll read it in then. It's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a requirement for a local vote to approve casino-style gambling, including video lottery terminals in a host community to the extent authorized by a statewide ballot measure that is adopted on or after November 4, 2014, and in connection therewith requiring the local vote within 13 months after the effective date of the statewide vote and before the granting of a gambling license.
All right. I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 140, as was just read in and appears on the screen.
Before I second, just a question. Did we move for single subject? We did, correct?
I don't know. Why don't you move that, too?
Just in case. and I also move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 140.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. You want to make your motion again, and then I'll second it.
Okay.
Your adoption.
Oh, he did them both at the same time.
I think we did a compound motion.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's allowed.
All right. The next item up is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 141. And Mr. Gruskin?
Yes, this is an initiative that would prohibit the granting of a license that would afford the licensee a monopoly on the types of gambling to be offered.
Okay. Mr. Hobbs, do you have anything beyond incorporating your comments from 138 into the record?
No, Madam Chair, that is all.
All right, thank you. All right, any questions for the proponent on the single subject?
No.
No.
I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 141.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All
right.
Do you think we could get rid of the concerning and connection? Just say prohibiting the granting of a license to conduct legalized gambling if the granting of the license would give the licensee a monopoly, except for bingo raffle. I don't know if we even want to list them all, but we could, except for bingo raffle, live racing, simulcast racing, period.
Maybe other than instead of except for.
Oh, other than. That's fine. I'll let you in on the poetry.
I think it's good. The only question, I certainly don't think we need it, except for the fact that if we think we're going to say on the next one, which is basically the same, say casino type before gambling on line three also, then maybe we do legalized on this one. I don't think it's necessary, though, because the license certainly implies that.
Yeah, and you're not going to circulate them both, are you?
No.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Then all right. So as it reads, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the granting of a license to conduct legalized gambling if the granting of the license would give the licensee a monopoly within any county on one or more types of gambling to be offered by the licensee, other than bingo, raffles, live racing, and simulcast racing.
I would move that we adopt the staff draft as amended, as just read as appears on the screen, as the title for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 141.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 142. Mr. Griskin.
This is a prohibition on the licensing of casino-style gambling if the license result in a monopoly within any county on the affected gambling.
Okay. And Mr. Hobbs, do you have anything beyond we will incorporate your comments from 138?
No, Madam Chair, I would incorporate my comments on 138 for all of these measures.
Thank you. Any questions on the single subject?
None.
I would move that we find a single subject for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 142.
All those in favor?
Oh, second.
Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to the title. Again, I would propose getting rid of the concerning if we can. Just say prohibiting the granting of a license to conduct casino-style gambling if the granting of a license would give the licensee a monopoly within any county to be offered. Do we really need to define? Maybe we can just go casino-style gambling, including
video lottery terminals,
and then we can get rid of the rest. I'll go ahead and read it. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the granting of a license to conduct casino-style gambling, including video lottery terminals, if the granting of the license would give the licensee a monopoly within any county on one or more types of casino-style gambling to be offered by the licensee.
And I move that we adopt the staff draft as amended, as it appears on the screen and was just read, for proposed initiative 2013-14, number 142.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that ends Mr. Gallander's time here on the title board. We'll welcome. Oh, sure. filling in. So I just suck it up. I'm not going to fight. We back on the record?
Yes.
All right. We are back on the record with proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 143.
Do you want to reflect that I'm back on the board?
Oh, and Ms. Eubanks has joined us for the remainder of the agenda.
Yes.
Designee of Dan Carton, Legislative Legal, and Mr. Gruskin.
Thank you. This is a measure to prohibit casino-style gambling within 1 mile of certain public schools, elementary, middle, junior, and high schools.
Okay. Any questions on the single subject?
No. Right. I move to, there is a single subject in proposed ballot initiative number 143.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Hobbs, did you want to comment separately on this one? Because it's quite different than your comments on 138, I would admit. Or maybe it's not.
In my mind, not really.
Okay.
I think, and Ms. Eubanks wasn't here for my comments on 138.
No.
And I don't want
to. She was in the back.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I don't.
But I think to me it's the same kind of thing. I think one difference is you don't necessarily know without extrinsic facts how these particular measures might apply to the measures you've already approved, 80 and 81, or 134 and 135 that are upcoming. I would just say that because they're part of the package, the intent is still clear. And I'd just reiterate that, again, you do have to state the true meaning and intent in setting the titles. So
okay.
Beyond that, I just incorporate my previous comments for 143 through 145.
Thank you. All right, the title's up. Mr. Gruskin, did you have any comments?
No.
Okay. I thought we should
first.
Put public.
What time is it? Note this for history.
I thought we should put that it's a public elementary, middle, or high school just because there's a lot of private ones, and that could be a much broader
right. When we got there, it seemed to me that there were three changes. I mean, have you done single subject yet? Did I miss that?
Yeah, yes. We did it.
Oh, okay.
We're on the title.
I was someplace else.
Okay.
I think you would want to insert public.
Us off by making the motion.
Oh,
yeah.
No wonder. I never heard that before.
Yeah, the rhythm went.
I think you want to put in junior as well, because that was an addition based upon commentary from the legislative staff, and to the extent that you want it to be consistent, probably want to use a parenthetical after casino-style gambling to indicate that it addresses video lottery terminals.
Yeah.
Even though this doesn't really conflict, this sets up a rule of general applicability going forward
right.
to everyone to every gaming establishment in the state.
Right. Even if they pre-exist.
No, I'm sorry. This applies. This does not apply in the three limited gaming communities. It applies every place else.
Okay.
And I was going to suggest a change to reflect that because I do think that's an important feature.
Right. Okay.
And whether or not to sort of track the way the measure describes it, that after high school, we would insert in jurisdictions other than those in which limited gaming was authorized prior to January 1st, 2004. Because otherwise, I think the title would be misleading.
I think that's a helpful change.
I just want to make one comment.
Actually, 2014, January 1st, 2014.
I just want to make one comment, just so it's clear about why going back to the discussion of 138 and Mr. Hobbs' comments. I don't know how to resolve this intrinsic conflict question without revisiting 80 and 81, which we can't do. So if you're going to make the conflict clear that 80 and 81 conflict with these others potentially, then you have to do the same here. Since we didn't do that in 80 and 81, I don't think you can do it here. So that's my, I just want to make sure it's clear, since it's pretty sure everyone's going to be back here in a week and this may end up somewhere else after that. That's, I'm going with consistency with 80 and 81, even though it, there probably is some conflict here, I think.
Yeah, I think these are less problematic, but...
these are clearly, but since Mr. Hobbs opened the door for me one more time, I figured I would make it clear for why
and then,
I'm not going down that
path. And Mr. Gruskin, you would not intend to submit... You would pick one from 143, 144, and 145.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
All right.
So I would move the changes as reflected on the screen for 143, the staff draft.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let me read it as it is now. It's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to prohibit casino-style gambling, including video lottery machines, within 1 mile of public elementary, middle, junior high, or high school. I should say schools, I think. 1 mile of... Oh, of a, okay, that it's fine. Of a public elementary, middle, junior high, or high school in jurisdictions other than those in which limited gaming was authorized prior to January 1, 2014.
And I think you said machines instead of terminals. It should be video lottery terminals.
Oh, okay, video lottery terminals, right. Online, too. Okay.
Okay. And I would move adoption of the title as you just read it for number 143.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 144. And I think we can just take that last question. But in the meantime, why don't you just introduce yourself and whatever you...
Mark Gruskin for the proponents. This is a measure that... is reflective of the previous measure you considered, except that the distance from the affected schools would be 3 miles rather than 1 mile.
I move that there is a single subject for the proposed initiative 143. I'm sorry, 144.
Four. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And as it reads right now, it's an amendment to the... Oh, and I'm sorry, Mr. Hobbs. For the record, we will incorporate your comments on 138 for purposes of the record and also the comments you made on 143. As it now reads, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to prohibit casino-style gambling, including video lottery terminals, within 3 miles of a public elementary, middle, junior high, or high school in jurisdictions other than those in which limited gaming was authorized prior to January 1, 2014.
And I would move adoption of the title that you just read for number 144.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 145.
Who would have thought that I'd get you out of here before noon, right?
Well, we still have more after you.
Oh, well, but I mean, not because of me.
You. Can't blame you.
No. My name is Mark Gruskin on behalf of the proponents. Initiative number 145 is reflective of 143 and 144, with the sole exception of the distance being 5 miles rather than 1 or 3.
I move that there is a single subject for proposed initiative 145.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And for the record, we will incorporate Mr. Hopp's comments from 138 and 143. And as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to prohibit casino-style gambling, including video lottery terminals, within 5 miles of a public elementary, middle, junior high, or high school in jurisdictions other than those in which limited gaming was authorized prior to January 1, 2014.
And I would move adoption of the title that you just read for 145.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, board members.
Thanks, sir.
So the question is, do you want to go forward with another one, or you want to break for lunch? Or
it's you guys have been here all morning long, and I've been sort of off and on, so I'm good either way.
I'm happy to plow forward. Is there any expectation that these are going to take particularly lengthy discussions?
They might. No, you don't think? Plow forward? Okay. Yeah, we did these a couple weeks ago, sort of.
I'm for plowing forward.
They really are still Mr. Gruskin's fault, even though he claims he got us out of here early. Clearly, these would not have been filed had he not filed those rehearings 2 weeks ago.
It's always Gruskin's fault.
All right, we're on.
Scheduling question.
Sure.
For proponents for 137, which is last. So will you break for lunch once you get through these, or?
Well, you know, if you don't mind watching us eat, we'll just go.
You're going to keep, okay, I just need to know if I should get the proponents here.
Whatever you want. What do you want to do? You tell me. We can take a half hour and you can get your proponents here, or we can plow through.
Might be good. We were expecting it would be 4 or 5, but thank you to Mr. Bruska for moving this forward.
We can break for lunch and come back and do yours. I mean, we could just say, let's do yours at 1:30.
Okay.
You want to do that? Sure. I mean, is that all right with you?
Yeah. If how long do you think it will take for them to get here?
Not long, but I was.
Oh, okay. I would say let's get them here, because I at least need to.
He needs to go to the legislature
get back
and
to the Capitol.
Okay,
if I can.
I'll tell them to come out.
Yeah.
But
so
if
he
can't
can
get
done,
here, then
but
we'll be here as long as is necessary.
It's fine.
Good morning. John Zackham on behalf of the proponents on number 134, Ms. Armstrong and Mr. Hagedorn. And both have signed their affidavits.
Okay. Mr. Zackham, do you just want to tell us what you believe the single subject is of your measure?
Yes, 134 is to create and establish a K through 12 education fund funded by an expansion of limited gaming.
Okay.
Or excuse me, video lottery terminals.
All right, and does anybody have any questions on the single subject? No?
No.
Anybody else want to be heard on this measure? No, not yet.
You must be really hungry.
I move that there is a single subject for proposed initiative 134.
Second.
So can you just tell us how this differs from the... all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Can you just tell us how this differs from the initiatives we approved on rehearing a couple weeks ago?
Well, it's constricting the effect and the actual mechanisms there. We took out in 180, limiting the gaming establishments in Cripple Creek, Black Hawk, and Central City. They're no longer in there. We took out the funding for the local fees, the local fee taxes, and allocations of any specific taxes to local communities. And instead, we inserted language to allow the local communities to simply impose a one-time impact fee and continuing annual impact fees.
Okay. And it seems to me that the staff draft follows what we did.
I think the staff draft is perfect.
The staff draft, I believe, follows what we did on the previous measure,
right,
except for the changes that Mr. Zackham just identified in terms of removing that. The number needs to be changed in terms of the revenue impact. The only other difference is after a discussion on the earlier measure, instead of using the terminology video lottery terminals, we talked about on-site electronic gaming and electronic game machines, but the staff draft has the VLT references back in, and so I guess that's just a question of whether or not the terminology you prefer.
Sorry. Oh, the screen's off. Yeah, the insertion of the new number is correct. And, you know, if you were looking for a little more precision, we would suggest you may want to remove on line 8 the word local K through 12 education, simply because it may direct a voter to believe that only specific local K through 12 schools are getting that funding, whereas it's every school district in the state, including the Charter School Institute, is going to receive funding on a per pupil basis.
But I seem to recall that we inserted local at your request last time to indicate that the money was got to be spent by the local school boards. I mean, it was purely their decision on how to spend it. And I don't know that it matters to me, but I thought you wanted it in last time.
Yeah, I think the better way to do it, honestly, because you didn't have the benefit of my representation up here. I think I figured this whole thing out for you. So I think you should take out local on line 8, and I think you should insert on line 2 the word statewide between increase and funding. Oh, that's on line 3, excuse me. Towards the end of line 3. And that looks perfect.
And the measure is still the same in terms of the monies being distributed to the school districts on a per pupil basis?
Affirmative.
And just for the record, it would be the intent of the proponents that only one of these would be circulated, including the ones from 2 weeks ago?
Of all of the proponents' measures that are going to have title set or have been set, only one will be circulated.
Okay. Thank you.
And I just have one other question based on the changes that you made and pretty much going to just the tax for K-12 and going to the local impact fees for the host communities. And this is just me and my Tabor strangeness. In terms of a voter-approved revenue change, when you talk about the taxes, I think, you know, the beginning of the question, you know, makes those revenues a voter-approved revenue change. In terms of without any additional language in the ballot language to deal with the fee revenues, there may be an issue if, depending on how much fees are generated, that whether they fit within the local government's spending limits or whether you want language included in the ballot question to make that a voter-approved revenue change also so that they could always keep and spend those revenues.
I don't think we need to do that.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to ask.
Time now is 6:43. We like to. Wow. Yeah. Really? I'm done with that. All right. Anyone have anything else?
No.
So then I would move the changes to the staff draft for 134 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
Oh, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. I'll go ahead and read it. It says state taxes shall be increased $102,100,000 annually in the first full fiscal year and by such amounts that are raised thereafter by imposing a new tax on authorized horse racetracks net proceeds from the operation of video lottery terminals to increase statewide funding for K-12 education and in connection therewith amending the Colorado Constitution to permit one qualified horse racetrack in each of the counties of Arapahoe Mesa and Pueblo to operate video lottery terminals including virtual slot machines and virtual table game devices, allocating the resulting tax revenues to a fund to be distributed to school districts and the Charter School Institute for K-12 education, and authorizing host communities to impose reasonable impact fees on horse racetracks authorized to operate video lottery terminals.
And I would move adoption of the title you just read for number 134.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 135.
Again, John Zackham for the proponents. Madam Chair and board members, our purpose here is almost identical. We're going to fund K-12 education fund through the authorization of horse track limited gaming.
And the difference here is?
Again, the differences are taking out the bifurcated tax system.
I mean from the one we just did.
Right. Well, This one's gaming versus video lottery terminals.
Okay.
With respect to 81, which title you said a couple weeks ago, there's no direct allocation to host communities. Again, the host communities aren't receiving the tax. They get to impose a one-time fee and then annual fees thereafter.
All right. Anyone have any questions on the single subject?
No. I move that there is a single subject for proposed initiative 135.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
So with respect to the language, if I may, it looks like staff is already correcting the fiscal. We would recommend the same changes relative to the statewide and local language on lines 3 to increase statewide funding for K through 12 education, and then delete local on line 7.
Right. As it reads now, it says, shall state taxes be increased $1,114,500,000 annually in the first full fiscal year and by such amounts that are raised thereafter by imposing a new tax on authorized horse racetracks, adjusted gross proceeds from limited gaming to increase statewide funding for K through 12 education, and in connection therewith, amending the Colorado Constitution to permit limited gaming in addition to pre-existing pari-mutuel wagering at one qualified horse racetrack in each of the counties of Arapahoe, Mesa, and Pueblo, allocating the resulting tax revenue to a fund to be distributed to school districts and the Charter School Institute for K through 12 education, and authorizing host communities to impose reasonable impact fees on horse racetracks authorized to conduct limited gaming.
And I would move that we approve the title that you just read, which reflects the changes to the staff draft to number 135.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And cool.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the board.
Did you have? Oh, okay. All right. I think we'll take a break while we wait for Ms. Taylor's proponents. Okay. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Great. Oh, no problem.
You guys had a really good clip.
I know. I'm surprised. Good.